With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, you guys, you gals, everybody. We are rocking you on a Friday.
Ow!
Damn it's right.
Hell of a start to the show. Just very sportsy and informative. And
we talked about Disney World for 45 minutes. So, it's me, Rob, Big Sook, right over there. Hope you're having a good day.
Really?
In my growing feud, apparently, with Jason Swigard. Apparently, we hate each other.
Yep. Fan feud.
Yeah.
It is the new number one.
Yeah. We're going to fight it out in the octagon, apparently. Either that or maybe Foxy Boxing. Those giant oversized gloves.
We will discuss lawsuits.
You get a lawsuit, and you get a lawsuit, and you get a lawsuit.
As it pertains to college football coming up here at 5:15.
I was in my first like actual lawsuit this year, and it was so depressing because even when you win, you lose because attorneys cost a gajillion dollars.
Care to share the deets?
Well, that was the contractor guy that ripped me off.
Oh, that's right.
That dude ripped off 10 grand from me. I sued him. I won. But by the time...
How much money did you get?
Like, by the time it was all said and done, because other people sued him as well, and by the time I got done with that and then paying the attorney, I think I got like $1,000 back of the 10 grand that he ripped off. Like, attorney fees are just... They're brutal. But you kind of... I mean, you have to have one. You can't just go around filing a lawsuit on your own.
Coming up in the club tonight, money can buy happiness.
Well, I've been saying this for years.
And... Have you ever heard of a parachute just falling off?
No.
You know, you've heard of the stories of the parachute not opening?
Not opening.
How about if you're just, it just falls off?
I'm here to tell you that might be the biggest, like if there's ever an excuse for you to crap your pants or wet yourself. Like my thing is if Brock Lesnar ever came and slapped me, I would pee myself and curl into the fetal position as my defense. And I feel like that would be appropriate. That is an appropriate response to that action. If you jump out of an airplane and your parachute falls off, no shame. You can mess yourself in any way you want.
Can you imagine?
And everyone's going to be like, is there any shame? No, there's no shame. That's the appropriate response.
And we need to talk about this because
you just pee yourself and you make peace with whatever higher power that you know you have up there and you know hope that maybe like Johnny Utah jumps out of a plane with a parachute and he flies down and grabs you.
Do you attempt to hit the ground in any sort of way that would help you?
Really?
Well, you I don't know. What are you going to do?
Are you saying you tuck and roll?
Yeah.
As you're going down, someone's like, when you land, try to roll. Try to roll with the shoulder.
What would be the worst way or the best way to die from impact on the ground?
Like the only appropriate thing to do is
to
try to do like the half gainer and go in with perfect form so there's little splash. At least if someone's like, did you see it? Yeah, I did. And I'll tell you what, the form looked good. The legs were a little apart, but...
So you just swan dive in.
You swan dive in.
Right, I'm going to go ahead and say there's not going to be little splash.
Do you cannon?
Even with you going with that form.
Do you cannonball?
Cannonball, maybe?
As you get in, cannonball!
Tell you what.
Maybe do that, Lovejoy, was it Dr. Strangelove? You try to cowboy that thing down?
I do think that if your parachute doesn't open, that's a little different scenario because it's still there and you have hope all the way down until you go splat that it will open.
Sure.
So you have hope.
Yeah, but
when it falls off, What are you going to do?
Again.
Do you try to fly?
I say, angels in the outfield. You flap.
You start flapping your arms.
Just flap your arms as fast as you can.
I don't know. And after a point, are you like, can I just hit the ground so it's something different? Like, this
is
just.
Is it possible while in the air that you can try to maneuver your body towards a softer, quote unquote, landing? Like, can you look for a body of water?
Probably not.
I'm here to tell you that that wouldn't make
it.
Is
there a truck of
water? You're going to die.
Is there a truck of pillows somewhere for you?
A nice fluffy pillow. No, I'm telling you, dude, you just.
Or a hay bale.
You make peace with whatever it is that, you know. Whatever it is you think is going to happen when you land, you make peace with that. And then I say go out with some style. Don't go out screaming. Just go out with some flair.
Could you do that? I don't think you could do that. Don't you think you'd pass out before you hit the ground?
Like shock?
You'd panic. Yeah, shock or panic or.
It's possible.
All of the above. Shock,
again,
panic.
I just would love to hear someone who was on the scene, like talking to the news reporter. He was cackling on the way down. He kept saying, Ma, here I come. Again, go out with some style. Maybe that guy from someone said, go look for that guy from Arizona that caught the baby. Is he out there like ready to make a catch? Maybe those firemen with that big trampoline sort of thing.
Would you watch the ground, or would you
just close your eyes and not know?
That way, yeah, you wouldn't know.
Did you peek? You put your hand over your eye like you're watching a horror movie. You just
there's
glancing.
No way you could leave your eyes closed that entire time.
Oh crap! There it is. Ugh. Awful.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's no good.
Hot five at five.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Seriously?
I like turtles.
Something wrong?
Please forgive me.
Number five.
Round two of the Workday Charity Open PGA Tour. Looked like they had some weather out there today.
Two delays, I believe.
Colin Morikawa shot 66 to follow up his round 165. He is 13 under and currently leads by 2 shots. Over Kevin Streelman.
Oh, okay. Should I know who Kevin Streelman is?
Yeah, if you watch golf, he's stud. He's okay. Good.
he's good. He's stud.
Good little player.
That didn't sound like a stud. That was not a stubby endorsement that you gave him.
Kevin Streelman, underrated PGA Tour pro, in my opinion. Some guy named Sam Burns, 9-under. Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Thomas, 9-under. And then Victor Hovland climbing up the leaderboard. He is 8-under.
I like that Rob still had some guy named in that leaderboard as
yeah.
well.
Sam
Burns.
I
figured you would know all of them.
I don't know Sam Burns. I don't know who that is.
Well, now you've hurt Sam's feelings.
You want the worst round of the day?
Absolutely. That always makes me feel better.
Yeah, let's go check it out here.
I'm hoping mid-80s. Give me an 84.
Looks like...
Number four.
Excuse me. We had an 81 out of Ryan Palmer.
I never feel good about the 81. I got to get to an 82, 83, and then we'll talk.
Looks like Patrick Mahomes, even though he just made $450 million, is going to have to earn the starting quarterback job with the Chiefs because they have just re-signed former Oregon State Beaver Matt Moore to a one-year deal.
It's going to be a vicious cockfight. By the way, I don't know if you've actually taken a look at that, but that contract, that was the most overblown thing all year. That is not a $500 million. Basically, that thing boils down to it's a six-year, about $194 million contract. It will not go
past
this.
Man, Matt Moore is a rich guy.
That Pat Mahomes thing, if you look into what that contract is.
Are you telling me Adam Schefter's a liar?
That is so far overblown. There is zero chance that thing gets into the seventh year of it. It will be torn up and it will be redone.
So you're telling me Adam Schefter's a liar?
Yes.
Liar.
That is a six-year, $194 million contract. It's not a lie, but the reports of that contract are disingenuous. It's not...
They're misleading.
They're misleading.
Misleading.
Yes, it is a 2 year. Boy, these got to finish out, and then
fully explained.
And then the 4 years on top of it. It is not that much greater than other contracts that have been signed. It is not this earth shattering thing.
Okay, all 22 NBA teams have entered the Orlando bubble, including your Portland Trailblazers. Their first practice is tomorrow. Notable names still not there. Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, he's still in Serbia. Kawhi Leonard of the Clippers. Also, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are not there. All are expected to eventually get with their teams. Rajon Rondo called his hotel room a Motel 6 today.
And to be fair, it's not a bad room, but it certainly does not look...
It's dated.
It's dated.
It does look a little Motel 6-y.
I need to see what LeBron's hotel room looks like. That's what I want to see.
Will he tweet his hotel room?
I hope so, because something tells me that they're both on the Lakers. I'm guessing that LeBron's hotel room does not look like Rondo's.
Major League Baseball announces its intake testing numbers. So this is the entire league. They're saying out of 3,748 tests, only 58 players and 6 staff tested positive. So that's a 1.8% positive rate.
That's good.
They found 17 more positives during monitoring testing. So the total is 83, which is only 0.7% of the over 11,000 total samples taken since they started testing.
So that's not a bad number. The scary thing about Major League Baseball and why it's going to be tricky, and same thing with college and the NFL, is there's no bubble, right? So whereas the NBA and the NHL, MLS, you hope that if you can control the outbreaks at the beginning, right, you should be pretty good in theory if you can keep that environment. Major League Baseball, you're dealing with travel, home stadiums, people and families, and that, I think, is the scary part. But initially, the numbers are good.
And we have another player opting out of the season. Giants catcher Buster Posey will not play. He cites a recent adoption. He and his wife adopted newborn twins.
Yeah, and I guess they're
preemies.
Yeah, there's some studies being done that maybe children under the age of 10, this could be some long-term complication. So, and he kind of, look, you got to do what's best for you and your family.
And number one, the Pac-12 made it official today. They joined the Big Ten in going to a conference-only schedule for fall sports. So the ACC says it'll make a decision in late July. The Big 12 and the SEC are both expected to wait a bit as well before deciding, although the SEC ADs are expected to meet in person in Birmingham, Alabama this Monday.
Yeah, I read a report saying that sources inside the SEC said they were kind of pissed off at the Big 10. And I'm assuming now the Pac-12, because they felt like...
I wondered about that.
Well, they wanted to wait, but now they said there's a tremendous amount of pressure to follow suit because you don't want... This is all about perception, right? And you don't want to be perceived as the greedy-ass SEC, especially with all the hotspots going on down there. And it's not as bad out on the West Coast or up north. And there's a growing pressure in the SEC country to follow suit, and they're not happy. They were hoping that everyone would wait until the end of July and see how things are playing out.
I also feel like they want to be the lead dog.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't put it past them to have come out and done their own thing, too.
Sure.
Ahead of time. They're just pissed that the Big Ten beat them to the punch.
Well, and remember, too, that now that you've got the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and those are the first two dominoes that are falling, a lot of the smaller schools are just not going to end up playing, that's going to open holes on schedules anyways. And so just from a logistic standpoint, you may be forced into going to conference only, or you're going to have to scramble around trying to put together games at the last minute. And remember, as this thing approaches July, you can't just put games together on 2 weeks' notice. So eventually you're just going to run out of options, and you're going to be forced to go with non-conference because there's just logistically it won't work any other way.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, we've got a lot of college football leftovers, but up next we'll talk about if there will be lawsuits regarding the canceling of non-conference games. It is 5:18 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, the Pac-12 going conference only, Big Ten conference only. It's, I mean, you know, you know the ACC, Big 12, SEC will likely follow suit, but you never know.
The Big 12 we'll find would out have to next do something week. Mildly different because they can't, they don't have 10 teams.
Right.
They only have 9.
But so there's a lot of teams, if they even play,
yeah,
there are a lot of teams looking for games.
Sure.
I mean, you will be able to fill spots.
It'll be easy to, I mean, like, again, BYU is always one that's been rumored to, you know, want to be, well, they want to be in the Big 12. The Big 12 doesn't want them, but there's been some flirtations, and you could easily go to BYU, who, when this is all said and done, is going to need like 8 games and have them fill in a couple.
So Brett McMurphy was talking about how his tweet was the Mountain West had 13 games against the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So their commissioner, Craig Thompson, said, "We were aware of this possibility. We will continue to evaluate appropriate decisions and proper timing going forward." And then, it's just a pretty mundane.
Yeah. They'll go to conference only as well.
I mean, that's statement. Yeah, no, but I think what they're asking is, how are you just going to accept that these non-conference games and these contracts are over?
Yeah. Or do you try to reschedule it, or do you fight for the money? Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing is, are we going to get lawsuits from these schools like Hawaii, these lesser schools that really have to have that money?
Well, remember, when you go,
they can sue.
Yeah. When you go and play these games, there was an article written just earlier this year about the rising cost of these games that, As the money has gone up in football, the road apples, so to speak, the Mountain West teams, though that's not fair to call them that because they do pull some upsets. But, the lesser teams and certainly the really lower division teams, they get sometimes upwards of $2 million to go play the LSUs or Alabamas. It'll be less for middle of the road Power Five schools, but they play three of those games because that $3, $4, $5, $6 million that makes up a huge portion of their budget. Without that money, they don't have football. And so that's the fear. There's no TV money for them to fall back on, right? The Pac-12, distributed what, $33 million? And they were only the fourth most. Some of those Mountain West TV deals, I know that's not even. Boise State's the most. I think they get like 3.5 or 4. Some of those Mountain West schools, their TV deal is $1 million a year. So, you take away in-person revenue, parking, concessions, ticket sales, and you take away the handful of millions that you're making off of playing these games, you may have to sue because it's the only way that you can keep your program afloat. I mean, this could get really ugly.
Right. Now, the Hawaii AD, his name is David Matlin, mm-hmm. and he has a quote from James, Krepia, the Oregon Live guy?
Yeah.
Covers the Ducks? I don't know what his name is. I think it's Krepia. Obviously, with three Pac-12 teams on our football schedule, today's decision affects us more than others. We are disappointed because not only were we looking forward to opening the season at Arizona, we were excited to host UCLA for the first time in over 80 years and renew a series with Oregon. However, the decision was made in the best interest of student-athlete health and wellness, and we support that, and we'll move on accordingly with the rest of our schedule.
Okay, so there doesn't sound like they're going to try to fight it. And maybe Hawaii's strategy is, and this is something to think about too, if you feel like you can try to find a way to get through this season, right, you just you ham and egg it. You just go as cheap as you can, because if you sue and you fight this, are you creating a precedent where no one wants to deal with you, right? If you're Hawaii and you do this and you sue the Pac-12 schools, do you run the risk of the Pac-12 just simply saying, F you, thanks for coming, you're not scheduling us anymore? And if you're Hawaii, I'm guessing that you make a lot of money by playing those Pac-12 schools, and you need to play those Pac-12 schools because everything is a huge trip for you, but especially if you have to start flying out to the Midwest or if you have to start flying out to the East to play a lot of these non-conference games.
So Rob Mullins, this wasn't recently. He said this way back in May, but he said, obviously our contracts do have, what do they call like these? Force major? Is he
it's
pronounced
major? I think it's an act of God.
Okay.
Force majeure,
yeah,
I think.
Force majeure.
Force majeure clauses. It will probably depend on exactly how the order comes down as to how that force majeure clause will be interpreted. It is broad enough that we do think a pandemic falls into it, but it will probably come down to the specifics of the order and how that's interpreted by our general counsel. So, bless you. I think, yeah, so it's going to come down to... COVID. Yeah, you have the COVID?
I got it.
Sneezing is a symptom.
Yes, either that or that I mowed my lawn and, that too.
Mowing lawns, also a symptom.
Also a symptom.
So lawyers are going to get involved here.
I hope it doesn't turn ugly like that, but I understand that every program is going to be looking out for themselves.
Yeah,
it's just that you're all going to be trying to stay afloat, which is why I said from the very beginning that college football was going to be by far the toughest sport to get up off the ground, because you're not dealing with one entity. You're not even dealing with five entities with the power conferences. You're dealing with 150 different entities, because even inside conferences, teams can get sideways and get loose on you, because we can say for the Pac-12, great, we're going to have a 10-game conference schedule. That's what we're going to do. What happens if in the middle of the year, Arizona can't play? And all of a sudden that goes away. You could get to the end of the year and you've got one team with 7 games and another team with 9. And I don't know how you figure all that out. If you go off win percentage, or again, if you're not willing to go out of conference, if you're the Pac-12, you can't make up those games against other people. It's just, it's going to be bizarre. Or you could have 10 games in the Pac-12. Maybe you end up having 8 or 9 in the Big 12. Or if the SEC doesn't take away non-conference games, they could have a 12 or a 13 game schedule. It could be such a weird paradox when we get to the end of the year, if there's bowl games and if there's still a playoff, having to decide that. Also, bowl games. Oregon State, the goal this year was get to a bowl game, right? I mean, and you thought you had a decent shot at that. But if you go to 10 games, what qualifies you for a bowl game? Does 4 wins now? Does 5 wins qualify you for a bowl game? How does all that work?
No idea. But they're going to have to figure it out. Yeah. Well, they're probably not going to play anyway, so it doesn't matter. How about that?
There is certainly a real chance of that.
Alabama AD Greg Byrne on the cancellation of the USC game, because that became official. So Alabama-USC will not happen now because of the Pac-12's decision today. He said, USC AD Mike Bone and I were both planning on playing the football game on September 5th in Arlington. With the Pac-12's decision to move to a conference-only schedule, we will do our best to adjust. What that looks like is to be determined.
Well, exactly, because again, this goes back to if enough dominoes fall, you're just hooped. Because if you're Alabama now, you're looking at it and say, well, that's an open game. And if you've got another, I don't need to, what is Alabama's schedule? Because I know at the end of the year there will be a patsy on there. But if you get enough conferences to go conference only, you're just going to end up naturally with too many holes on your schedule, and it's not going to be enough time to have to go around and try to fill that. That's the other one, is it's very easy for us to sit up here on the radio and say something to the effect of, oh, well, just go get Boise State, or go get BYU, or go get this team, or go get that team. There are so many more things that are involved, from TV contracts to payouts to travel to hotel arrangements. And you can't, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in 10 days. And as we get towards the end of July, especially if you don't make a decision towards the end of July, then you're facing down you get the barrel of a gun. You're just running out of time, and which is why I ultimately think that everyone is going to have to capitulate to this and just go to a conference only, which is what the Big Ten said in the first place.
Good word.
One of the reasons, you're welcome.
Capitulation, that's also a COVID symptom.
Yes. Yeah. Along as, again, having a pulse. Hey, are you alive?
I am.
You've got it.
Symptom.
Your hair is getting awful long.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think I'm getting it cut symptom. Next week.
That's a COVID.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I think I'm cutting it,
guys. Are you really?
Yeah.
Going back to short?
Maybe.
It's seen its day.
I'm so tired of it. It's a lot.
You really did let it go for, what is it now, a year now?
It's been about 18, 19 months, guys.
Wow.
It looks good.
It's long.
It does look good.
Yeah. Just,
you fought through the awkward middle phase.
Yeah. Now it's just going to get ridiculous.
I will tell you this just real quick. My son grew out his hair for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and it was phenomenal. Like Dave Grohl length. And he had enough, and he cut it. Instant regret.
Instant regret, really?
Instant regret.
That's what my wife said.
Instant.
My wife said, be very careful.
Yep. And now he's taken the time.
You've put so much time into it.
And he's grown it back out, not to that length, obviously, but he's grown it back. And I told him, I said, you learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take that beautiful long hair for granted. Let's be honest, you're getting up there in age. I don't know how many more years you have of being able to have great long hair. Just appreciate it while you got it.
You're right. That will be taken into consideration. Now, I am going to my wife's stylist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have
fancy
to sit there.
Fancy and expensive.
Yes, that's right. I'll probably get a $125 haircut.
Wow.
Now we know why he doesn't want free hotel rooms.
Yeah. Must be nice to be Isaac Rock.
Well, I don't want to pay that. I usually pay $15 for my haircut. But I haven't had a haircut in 2 years, 18 months.
That's the cost, huh?
Well, I don't know.
You do kind of have lady-length hair, so I mean.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how much it costs for a guy to go into one of these stylists.
Yeah.
I know what it costs when my wife goes in there, and it's a freaking arm.
Well, get ready to sit there for 3 hours.
I know, right?
I will tell you.
And gossip.
So my son,
do I have to bring my gossip game?
I think you do, and maybe sit under one of those blow dryers. Yeah. And get the curlers. When my son got his haircut, it was so long. We went to a stylist. We didn't go to super cuts or whatever when he was a kid. We went to a stylist. And the problem is they gave him a lady haircut. And he came out looking like a sassy aunt.
Really?
Yeah. they cut it. And I didn't want to say anything because he was kind of on the fence about having it cut. And we were finally in the car. And I turned to him and I was like, so what do you think? And he's like, I hate it. And I was like, oh, me too. I was like, let's go get it fixed.
Oh, my gosh.
They gave him a sass. I think the lady was just used to styling ladies' hair. They kind of gave him the Karen, to be honest with you. I thought he was going to go complain to the manager.
Oh, boy.
And then we had to go to a second place. We went to like a Sports Clips or whatever, one of those places.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Get some tea out
they,
there.
They did. They gave him, they, we were like, hey, can we fix this and make him look like a guy? Like, this isn't right. So just, I'm telling you, man, be careful that you don't end up with a sassy aunt.
Rob Mullins is in with a quote from, again, James Crepier. This guy's all over it.
Yeah.
Covering the Ducks down there. He said, Rob Mullins said on the North Dakota State, Ohio State, and Hawaii front, he said, we will work closely with all three schools to reschedule those games for a future year.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see the Ohio State Oregon game
go away. Well, and hopefully, again, Hawaii, I think the point of that too is Hawaii knows that if you sue, you're cutting any future games off. You know, you can't do that.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the hour with college football randoms, and we will tell you who the number one quarterback in the class of 2021 chose, where he's going to go play. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Man, all kinds of late-breaking news here.
What's that?
All right, late Friday news dump. Okay, two things.
I do love the late Friday news dump. That was a Blazers staple for years.
Guess who has COVID?
Isaac Ropp.
No.
Damn it.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott.
Oh, okay.
Has COVID.
Is he... Is he doing okay?
After experiencing mild flu-like symptoms late this week, and out of abundance of caution, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott was tested for COVID-19. The test for Commissioner Scott came back positive, and as a result, he is self-quarantining at the direction of his physician. He is continuing to carry on his duties remotely.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that, you know, there's not a lot of in-person meetings anyway, so just play some phone calls.
Isn't it always interesting to find out who has COVID? Like, even though it's like...
I know.
It's just not a big deal, but...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is, but it isn't.
It is if you end up being sick and you end right. up in the hospital or whatever, but it's also like you can do everything that you're supposed to do. It doesn't mean that Larry Scott's out at Lake Havasu, like, you know, whooping it up.
How do you know?
You know, down on the 4th of July. You don't, right? But I do think you got to be careful with the, you know, if someone gets it and you're like, you know, that's his fault. Now, there are some where, you know, the people that... the Brazilian president, for instance, that jackass, right? Like, he's denied that this is a thing, and he's like, bring it on. Like, he gets it. If he ends up in the hospital, I would laugh. I'd be like, dude, you got what you deserve. But, you know, it's not like every person out there is trying to get it.
Okay, so here's the other one. This is pretty explosive. Okay, so do you remember the story with Quentin Dunbar of the Seahawks and DeAndre Baker of the Giants?
Yes, the alleged robbery that wasn't a robbery. Wait, it was a robbery, then it wasn't a robbery, and so, then this person robbed it, but then no one robbed it. It was a whole thing.
So here's the backstory as quickly as I can describe it. The two NFL players apparently got ripped off at a gambling.
Yeah, there was a high stakes like craps game, and they lost a bunch of money.
And so they wanted to get the money back, and they stormed another game later to get the money back, and they robbed these guys.
They had some cash, they got some watches, and and then supposedly they got out of there like in a Lamborghini and a BMW.
Right. And they had getaway cars and everything. And they had guns, and they got arrested.
Yeah.
And then it all went away because the witnesses all said
didn't happen.
Did they say it didn't happen, or they just stopped cooperating?
They said that it wasn't. Who was the other guy besides Dunbar? They said it wasn't Dunbar, and then Baker said that he was playing video games at the time. So I don't think they denied that the robbery occurred. They were saying that their witnesses recanted that it was Baker and Dunbar.
So that's the backstory. According to the Daily News, it was both the crime and the cover-up. I'll read this to you. It says, at least that's what a search warrant obtained exclusively by the Daily News seems to indicate in the case against Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker and Seahawks corner Quentin Dunbar for an alleged armed robbery that occurred May 13th. The explosive warrant obtained as a public record of the county seeks access to iCloud accounts associated with Baker and Dunbar. The warrant cites evidence collected through previous warrants, which includes video footage and direct messages that show witness Dominic Johnson oversaw the payoff of Baker's and Dunbar's four alleged victims.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So they have video of him paying off the victims. And on his quote on there is, I made them same ends that said they got robbed come in and say them boys ain't had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Johnson allegedly wrote that on DM.
Yeah. It said,
and they have that from Instagram.
I mean, that's what we said. Cause if you remember, it was Dunbar's attorney that came out literally like the next day and said that he had sworn affidavits from the witnesses saying that this didn't happen, that it wasn't his client. And then the DA came out and said, I don't know what to tell you, man. If they've got evidence, show it to us, because we've got sworn statements from these witnesses all saying that it was. And then sure enough, 48 hours later, everything fell apart. And we all knew what had happened. We all knew that the payoff had gone down. But unfortunately, apparently you were dumb and you didn't cover up the cover up.
Right. And now it says all four victims have given sworn statements that they were paid to recant their sworn initial statements against Dunbar by signing affidavits. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you read the story yet?
I have not.
Okay. Guess how much they got. How much do you think that cost?
I think originally they were robbed of with jewelry and everything. I want to say it was like 65, 70 grand, if I remember, was the total value of everything.
Okay, so they paid them a lump sum. This is all four of them.
All four, so not individually.
Total.
Lump
this is
sum,
total.
20 grand.
$55,000.
Okay, 55?
Yeah. That's not as much as I would have thought.
Yeah.
So they get away with $25,000 from their...
Well, I'm assuming you had to return the watches as well, right? Well, you had to probably give back the property.
So then what's the benefit?
Well, you get your property back and you get the 55 grand on top of it. You know what? At least they held out for 55 grand. Because when you said that, I thought it was going to be some ridiculously low number that the people were like, eh, give me a couple grand and we'll call it good. So you got what? A little over 10 grand a person to recant your testimony? Would you recant for, 11, 12 grand?
Well, that's complicated because.
And did this go down too? Look, one of two things can happen. You get your watch back and you get a couple grand, or I just shoot you. And something tells me there might have been some, we threatened to shoot you before, we will follow through with shooting you now.
So one guy got 30.
Oh.
Another guy got 20. And a third says he only got 5 and he gave half of that to a fourth.
Well, what the hell, man?
It must just be
they had
the witnesses in terms of like the strength of them,
I guess.
So they're in trouble.
Well,
or are they?
Well, here's the question. Do you get the robbery charge, the tampering with a witness charge, the bribery charge, or does everything fall apart because no one is trustworthy?
Right.
And does some fancy attorney be like, you can't trust these people. They're criminals.
Right.
Like,
I wonder if it still just goes away.
Yeah. Either that or you have to write another check. You have to write another check for even more money to sweeten the pot.
Yeah. 75 more thousand. This goes away.
Jeez.
God, what a mess.
Well, cause I thought Dunbar just got, I saw just the other day, he got like a, what would you call it? Clearance from the judge in this to come back up to Seattle and try to start resuming his NFL career. But something tells me that he may not be coming back anytime soon. And remember that the NFL does not need you to be criminally convicted of anything in order to suspend you. They can conduct their own blue ribbon fact-finding commission. And something tells me that at the very least, Baker and Dunbar are going to be suspended for a couple games.
All right, 5:46. We'll wrap it up with college football randoms.
This is good. Someone said, can they recant the recant?
Not after having been paid, right?
I don't know. Hey, recant the recant of the recant? How many times can you recant?
How many times can you flip-flop?
Yeah. You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
The first flip, they did it because they were bribed.
Yes.
So their story has been the same all along.
Yes.
It's just that they were bribed to say something different.
Yes.
So now you want to bribe them to say something different again.
So then you're only recanting twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can recant. Yeah. You just can't do it a third time.
Okay. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, we're almost done here. We'll move on to the club. A couple of college football notes that we didn't get to this week. You see Mike Gundy got $1 million pay cut?
No. Just
after that review of his, you know, like yeah, they did a big review
that
of
whole situation.
Yeah, they cut his salary by $1 million.
Well, they would
have. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I mean, he would have had to agree to that though. I mean, it's you're under contract unless you had some sort of weird language in there that allowed them to just arbitrarily cut things. I mean, that's interesting to me that he would either accept that or that didn't go down without more of a fight, or he just knew that he had kind of stepped in it a little bit.
I think that's what it is.
And then just shut up and was
like, he didn't really have any leverage. The AD, Mike Holder, said that Gundy did not have a good relationship with his players. He said, we've spent the past couple of weeks reviewing our program and talking with current and former players. Our internal review found that Coach Gundy needs to invest more time in building stronger relationships with the student athletes. Our review has uncovered no signs or indication of racism. After meeting with Coach Gundy, I'm confident he listened to his student athletes. I believe he's genuine in his commitment to strengthening relationships. I believe this to be a win for everyone. I'm looking forward to seeing the impact this will have on our team.
I wonder if it went down something like this, right? Hey, your name is pretty crappy right now, and you're kind of viewed as a racist.
Pandemic.
Athletic departments everywhere are under a huge budget crisis. You want to be unemployed right now? I know we got to pay you off, but you know, where are you going to resurface? Is this where you want to be, or you take $1 million pay cut? And I wonder if they kind of just shoved it to him that way.
Well, no, this says Gundy's 5-year rollover contract was shortened to a 4-year rollover. His buyout was reduced, and he also gets a $1 million pay cut, which Holder said in a conference call was Gundy's idea.
Huh. See,
that's not true.
Then there's no way.
No
way. Mike Gundy was like,
hey, you guys should take $1 million off the top.
I don't need $1 million. You just go ahead and take it back. But just remember,
I don't buy it.
I just want everyone to remember there's no money to pay kids.
Mike Gundy.
Can't do it. Well, doesn't it, at this point, don't we know that Mike Gundy is just a bad guy?
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that's, yeah, it seems it. He's just a football coach, you know.
He is, but
he has his blinders on. He has no real worldview outside of that.
I think there's a difference between, like, I think Dabo is like this, but I don't think Dabo's a bad guy. I think he's a dumbass. But I don't think he's a bad guy. I think Mike Gundy's a bad guy, legitimately a bad guy. And it'll be interesting to see if this beginning of the end might be too strong, but I wonder if some of the shine is going to come off of him. Cause while he's been really good, haven't been that good, right? They've never been able to get over, you know, and be in Oklahoma. They've never been able to be in the national conversation as far as a college football playoff. I mean, it's a damn good team and he's a good coach. I just wonder if maybe this is a little bit like a Mike Leach thing, where he was so good at Texas Tech for so long, and eventually they were like, you know, this is just a pain in our ass, and it's not worth it. Eight, nine wins, and a good bowl game every now and then, this isn't worth it.
Finally, what school do you suppose got the number one quarterback in the class of 2021? Quarterback U, they call it.
Quarterback U.
You know what the new quarterback U is?
I'm trying to think of who the new quarterback U would be.
It's Oklahoma, right?
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
Well, I've said this. If you were a quarterback and all you wanted to do was like, I'm going to go and maximize my ability, my exposure, and get to the NFL, why would you go play anywhere else other than Oklahoma?
Yeah, the kid's name is Caleb Williams, 5-star kid, number one dual threat quarterback in the country, number 4 recruit overall. Oklahoma won out over LSU and Maryland. There's Loxley again.
Yeah.
Paying kids.
Just
sliding on into the,
well, let's not act like Oklahoma's not doing that too.
True.
I knew some guys that got recruited by Oklahoma and they had good, now to be fair, this was 20 years ago. I heard very good stories about recruiting trips to Oklahoma.
They know what they're doing down there.
Very, very good recruiting trips.
Now, Alex Grinch is still their defensive coordinator, I think.
I believe so. Well, he's only been there a year, maybe. is he left for Ohio State, and he was the co-guy, and then he left and went down to Oklahoma.
You think they're good enough defensively to win a title?
I don't know. I think that I do think that their talent level needs to improve a little bit on that side of the ball. I think Oklahoma is one of those teams that is good, but when push comes to shove, they just haven't had the horses in order to beat the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world. But if Lincoln Riley sticks around and Grinch is a hell of a defensive coordinator and you can recruit just a little bit better, I think Oklahoma is building something really, really good.
What if you put Oregon's defense with Oklahoma's offense?
I think
best team in the country.
No.
Oregon's got a pretty good D, man.
Oregon does have a pretty good defense.
Oklahoma has a pretty good O.
Oklahoma has a great offense.
But you're saying you're better than Clemson. You're better. I think from a talent level, Oregon doesn't have that kind of depth. And Oregon's defense is good. I'm not convinced that Oregon up front. Now, the back half of Oregon's defense, the secondary, sure. Oregon's linebackers and defensive line aren't anywhere near what some of the big boys are yet. I think that's coming. But I think we're way, way ahead of ourselves if we're saying linebacking and defensive line is anywhere near what those guys have thrown out there. I mean, Thibodeau may develop into one of those guys. I don't think Oregon has a again, Thibodeau is a big question mark. He came on late in the year. But you're dealing with sometimes when you're talking about that Clemson national title team or Ohio State or Alabama, Auburn, you have had guys that are literally unblockable. You have 2 to 3 guys up front that are true difference makers. And right now at Oregon, you have a question mark of one that could be turning into that guy. Back half of the secondary, yes, I'll give you that. But no,
you're getting some good young linebackers in.
You are. But again, all of that is really,
brother
really, really unproven.
Do you think does Oklahoma have more talent on defense than Oregon?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I think that if Oregon keeps recruiting this way, if they do have more talent, it's not going to be more talent for long. Oregon's starting to get true difference makers on that side of the ball. And we know that you've done it with the offensive line. Penei Sewell is phenomenal. I thought the offensive line you had last year was really good. If it wasn't the best in the country, it was one of them. Cristobal can develop O-linemen. He can recruit O-linemen. If you can consistently find NFL-level players on the defensive side of the ball, Oregon is going to be scary to deal with in years to come. But, you know, up until this point, you haven't had it. When you look at from a defensive perspective, you've had some good units there over the years, and you have put some guys in where you talk about Haloti Ngata, who was just a freak. And obviously with Armstead and DeForest Buckner, again, two huge difference makers, but to be a national title team, you have to have NFL players and good NFL players rock solid at all three levels. Look at what like LSU had last year on the defensive side of the ball. And we're not even talking about their offense, which was just ridiculous. I think Oklahoma and Oregon's defenses right now are good enough to get you into the playoff. Are they good enough to win a national championship? I don't think they are. Not yet.
All right, the club is next. Money can buy happiness. And what happens when your parachute just falls off? Hopefully you're not in the air.
Yeah, that would.
Now, if it falls off, you pick it up.
Yeah, if you're just wearing it around like the house, it's like a fashion accessory.
And then it falls off.
It's a little embarrassing if you're out at dinner or something, but you know, you pick it up. Oops, I didn't buckle properly.
All right, we'll get to that next. This is The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.